Our study this morning is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 9, the believer's duty of sexuality within marriage. The people Paul discipled in Corinth lived in a city that was known for its immorality, its alcoholism, and worldly pursuits. So the formidable influence of the city's culture on the Corinthian believers left Paul addressing aberrant beliefs and practices of an astonishing variety in his letters to them. However, in a vision Paul received from God as he ministered at Corinth in Acts 18:10, God told him, "I have many people in this city." So Paul was to keep on ministering regardless of the trials that he faced there. This epistle is timely for us who face our own decadent culture today. So we view 1 Corinthians 7, 1-9 on the believer's duty of sexuality within marriage as follows. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into his word. Father, we're grateful for the opportunity that we have of meeting together and the liberty that we have to do so. We'd ask that we would utilize the ministry of the Spirit of God that illumines the Word of God to us, that also ministers and convicts us and applies it to our hearts and lives as we rely on His power. We ask for wisdom to utilize each one of these ministries for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife has not authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop defrauding one another, except it be with mutual consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, lest Satan tempt you for your lack of self-control. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment, for I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner, one after that. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and to widows, it is good for them if they remain," that would be remain single, "even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better than to burn." You hear the idea of burn here is burn in passion. So after Paul addressed the dangers of sexuality outside of marriage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 20, he discussed then the believer's duty of sexuality within marriage. For probably abandonment of marital duties on the part of some in Corinth had contributed to the immorality that he had just described. Now, the people there had lived in a very, very aberrant, decadent culture, and they had come out of terrible immorality. So some of them thought, well, the best thing to do is just practice total abstinence. And some of them are married, and they're trying to practice total abstinence. And Paul says, no, you're just creating a problem. Because if you don't have the gift of celibacy, all you're doing is putting pressure on the other partner. So Paul wanted to deal with the proper use of sexuality within marriage. So Paul's 1 Corinthians 7, 1 comment that it was good for a man not to touch a woman translates the present middle infinitive haptesthai, and it's a euphemism for sexual intercourse. So this comment responded to a question some had raised in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 7, 1, who were seeking to avoid immorality that was so prevalent in Corinth by practicing abstinence even in marriage. However, total abstinence in adulthood generally opens the door for temptation for immorality, since only a minority of believers have the gift of celibacy. So Paul directed that each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own man, namely that believers generally should get married. That's what verse 2 actually means. Paul is saying, in a general sense, in order to avoid immorality, if you don't have the gift of celibacy, they should get married. And it's very important for that to occur. I know we're going to get into questions, okay, I'm not married yet, and I feel the need to get married, but how are you to go about finding the right partner? We'll answer that in the section that comes after the message. In 1 Corinthians 7, 3, then teaches that the married man is obligated to meet his wife's sexual needs and the married woman is then obligated to meet her husband's sexual needs. Before God, the wife does not have the right or authority. The Greek word is exousiazo, and that means she doesn't have the authority to do what she wants in regards to her own sexuality. That is something that, because they become one flesh, her husband is in need of her expressions of sexuality, so she doesn't have authority over that. And it's also true that, but rather, her husband does, and the man in marriage does not have the right or the authority, same Greek word, exousiazo, over his own body as to sexual expression, but rather his wife does. The word but here is very strong, Allah. Normally there's the word but means de, it means but this or and this, but Allah means but rather. So it's very, very important for marital couples. If you're going to get married, you have to remember that in marriage, your sexuality is something that your partner has authority over, not you. And you have authority over your partner's sexual expression as well. So this is something that marital couples have to work out and keep in mind. This is what God notices. Now, there is a modifying circumstances. Paul, as a conservative Hebrew, would certainly observe Leviticus 18:19, which commands that a man not have sex with his wife during her menstrual period. And that goes without saying, but I need to state that because the Word of God states it. Now, married couples were to stop depriving the negative particle me with the present imperative apostereta, means that the activity was going on at the time, and Paul says you need to stop it. So they were supposed to stop depriving each other of meeting their sexual needs, except it be with mutual consent to give themselves to fasting and prayer. Now, fasting is never commanded of the church. What happened is the Jews practiced fasting as a habit. In fact, John the Baptist, remember, he fasted, his followers fasted, and the people came to Jesus saying, how come John's disciples fast and your disciples don't? And Jesus said, well, I'm the bridegroom, in other words, I'm the Messiah, so when the Messiah comes, you're supposed to feast and not fast. But God commanded fasting in the Old Testament only for Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. There were no other fasts that were commanded. There were a host of fasts that the people would build up, and John the Baptizer, being Jewish, naturally practiced fasting, which was very common. So the idea of separating themselves for fasting and prayer is, there were a lot of Jews in the church, and that's why they were practicing that. So keep in mind, fasting is something that is never commanded for the church. But then they were to come together, that Satan not tempt them to commit immorality for their lack of self-control. See, if people don't have the gift of celibacy, they need to be together with their marital partners. Otherwise, Satan can tempt them to commit immorality with some other party to meet these sexual needs. And that's what we definitely do not want to get into. Paul then shifted his discussion away from what Christ had commanded him to write to what the Lord permitted him to write, in adding that he could wish that all believers were celibate like himself. Now, the reason the Lord gave him permission, I can see the Lord, okay, but be careful. Don't make this something that is forced. Because Christ is very sensitive to the fact that a lot of believers don't have the gift of celibacy. And if you don't have the gift of celibacy, you need to face that fact and go ahead and get married and then meet your needs mutually with your wife in marriage. But the Lord gave him that permission. And some believers do have the gift of celibacy. One of my professors at Dallas Seminary, Zane Hodges, had the gift of celibacy, and he used that. He started a church among the Hispanics in the city of Dallas. He's written the commentary on the book of Hebrews in the Bible Knowledge Commentary. Very godly man, but he's very, very comfortable being single. He always has been. And that, he has that gift, and he can use that. However, Paul acknowledged that not all believers had the gift of celibacy, which is an understatement. The vast majority don't. Nevertheless, Paul recommended that those who had never married and widows, and they would be widowers by application, that it would be good for them to remain unmarried like him. Now, that implies that they either have the gift of celibacy or they're beyond the stage where they feel the need, because after all, the hormones change when you get very, very elderly, and often the drive for a sexual need is gone as well. On the other hand, if they did not have the gift of celibacy, it would be better for the unmarried and widows and widowers to marry. For it's better to marry than to abstain from marriage and burn with sexual desire. Pura'u means actually to burn in, like a flame, lest it increase one's temptation to commit immorality. So the entire lesson is summed up in the fact that believer's duty within marriage first involves his recognizing whether he has the gift of celibacy or not. Okay? If he has the gift of celibacy, it is better that he remain unmarried and not commit immorality. What applies not only to the unmarried, but also to widows and to widowers. However, if he or she does not have the gift of celibacy, he or she should marry. Now, in marriage, each spouse must meet the sexual needs of the other spouse as one's duty before God, but obviously in alignment with the modifying directive of Leviticus 18:19 that we already covered. For spiritual devotion, spouses may abstain from mutually meeting each other's sexual needs for a mutually agreed time. Notice everything is on mutual. There has to be mutual agreement. But they must resume addressing their mutual needs to avoid temptations to commit immorality. So may we heed the teaching of 1 Corinthians 7, 1-9 on the believer's duty of sexuality within marriage. I really believe it's very, very important to have a passage like this that deals with a sensitive subject, but to do so in a church setting, because it's good for people to be aware of these facts before you have to get into a counseling situation where the marriage is in danger of breaking apart. Because at that point, it's very, very hard to put the nip in the bud. It's to stop it. So it's better to have this information out for the church to know, for people to know, for believers to know it. So that, and if it's before marriage, the better. You know, so that you know what you're getting into, know what's afoot, and then for married couples to, before a problem develops, to realize what God's view on this whole situation is, so that we use common sense and that we practice what God wants us to practice, so that we avoid immorality. The whole goal of this instruction is to avoid immorality, and within marriage there's, you know, between the couple, the husband and the wife, the bed is undefiled. That's what Hebrews chapter 13 says. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's something that was designed by God, and that marital couples are free to exercise liberty in regards to this whole thing. But outside of marriage, it's incredibly destructive. So the point is, okay, outside of marriage, we're supposed to be, you know, totally abstaining. But if we don't have the gift of a celibacy, within marriage, there's a proper code of conduct that God has. And God has designed marriage to be something that is mutually edifying for both the husband and the wife. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback. It could be on this subject. It certainly doesn't have to.